to start this evening, when we talk about influential British bands, you'll always hear the names of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, and others might spring to mind as well. But let's set aside all the performative coolness and say, when it comes to pop, it would be wrong to understate the impact of the band Take That on the shaping of modern music from their early 90s beginnings through their superstardom of the mid-90s and the tabloid-tastic split in 1996. The five members of Take That were the boy band blueprint that launched so many imitators. Did any of the imitators have the charm or indeed the songwriting chops to match them? Next week, Take That get their own jukebox feature film musical. It's called Greatest Days. It stars our own Aisling B. And so to anticipate that, with me in studio this evening is Louise Bruton to talk about the impact of Take That on pop music. Let's start with the impact of Take That on Louise Bruton. What are your memories? And what does Take That mean to you, Louise?
Take That were just the first everything. They were the first pop group, the first boy band, the first idols that were kind of handed to me. I remember having a folder in primary school that was my sister's, and when she was over Take That, she gave it to me, and I had crayon hearts drawn around.
Did she over Take That?
I know, can you imagine? but I had crayon hearts drawn around Robbie Williams's face, and it was just like pure dedication. Like the day that they split up, I remember walking into the schoolyard to just a sea of tears of 8-year-old girls knowing what heartbreak was.
8-year-old girls and some older girls and young women as well. Probably a sea of tears around many parts of this country and indeed other countries as well. You weren't alone in that, you know, super fandom of Take That, Louise. How did the band come about? Where did that idea come from? You know, people obviously, the Monkees was the first boy band, but Take That were something, they really were something different, weren't they?
Yeah, so their origins are completely different to what we know now, which is sort of balladeers. They were originally thrown together by this man named Nigel Martin Smith, who just wanted a bunch of good looking boys to dance in clubs, a bit like New Kids on the Block in America. But he managed to find five working class lads who were all teenagers, except for, I think, Jason Orange, who was the quadruple threat of a DJ, a dancer, a modeler and a vehicle painter. So they were all, and Robbie Williams used to be a body popper and he was 16 when he started in the band. So these are all boys who had left school and wanted to be something bigger than where they came from. So when they came together, they were thrown into nightclubs and they had television performances wearing mostly leather, having bleached hair, hints of homoeroticism to them. And it was suddenly when Gary Barlow's songwriting chops really came to the fore that they realised they could do more than just be good looking boys. They could be great singers and performers too.
So you've given us Jason Orange there, you've mentioned Robbie Williams and you've mentioned Gary Barlow. As lots of people would think of Gary and Robbie as the kind of the head. But who were the other two then, to just to complete the quintet out?
Mark Owen was the cute one. I think that was the one that most young girls fancied. I think that was his role. That was also a great thing about Take That. Each one had their role. So the Jason Orange, and then Howard Donald was the one for the mums to fancy. So everyone had their role to play. There was the talent in Gary, the cuteness in Mark, the older kind of suaveness in Jason and Howard, and then the cheeky chappy of Robbie Williams, who was the entertainer.
But the Gary Barlow aspect of things, and that's those songwriting chops, that was vital really to all of the band really.
Yeah, it's probably what prevented them from an early demise, which is what happened to so many pop groups, especially in the 90s, where they're kind of hot for a minute and then they fade away into oblivion. But Gary Barlow, as much as it pains me to say, he really kind of kept the momentum going by outdoing himself with every song, every album, managing to do the fun songs like It Only Takes a Minute. Or sorry, that was a cover. There was a couple of covers that they did. But he would have done some of the mushier stuff like A Million Love Songs. But then he could come back with a song called Pray, which was just them dancing under waterfalls.
There you go.
Perfect.
What more do you need? And I suppose 1991, the song Do You Do What You Want kind of launched the whole thing. That was a big hit for them, but it was that cover, It Only Takes a Minute, really, that got things going. Let's remind ourselves what happened in 1992. It only takes a minute, girl.
It takes a minute, girl, to fall in love, to fall in love.
There you go. There's the bit where all the lovely dancing was going to go on by those who could dance. But that's the version. They take that version of It Only Takes a Minute from 1992. And that really was the big splash, Louise.
That just took the UK, Europe, Ireland and Asia by total storm. And they didn't crack into America at that point yet. But neither did the Backstreet Boys, who were also American. It wasn't the taste for America yet. But Europe, take that insane.
Robbie and Gary, really, I think to anybody, if you say take that, that's probably the first two names that you will hear. That dynamic, how important was it? There's a kind of a little underscore of rivalry from the very start, isn't there, really?
It was apparently a case of Robbie just not liking being told what to do. And because Gary had that sort of the songwriting kind of string on his bow, he probably had a bit more power in the band and he could determine how many ballads, how many fun songs they had. Whereas according to Robbie at the time, he was more into rap and hip hop, which is not what he ended up doing apart from that terrible album Rude Box in 2006. But it was just a case of egos clashing, and it was what would eventually lead to make Robbie leave the band.
All right, well, let's listen to an interview from, this is very close to the beginning, from 1991. In fact, even before that big hit with It Only Takes a Minute. Here they are starting out. They were asked about the name Take That, but I think even as you listen to the two of them talking, because it's predominantly Robbie and Gary that you hear, it is just Gary and Robbie that you hear here, even then you get a sense there's a little bit of tension there.
I think it was a joint effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just we wanted something really, really snappy and fast and Take That. I think
we'll tell you the real story.
Really.
He got punched in the face and this fella said, Take That, right? And he said, Take That, what a good name for a band.
Yeah, that's right, it's a good one, Rob, yeah.
Amongst you all, obviously you're the lead singer, Gary, but is there sort of a boss amongst you? Who tends to sort of...
Our manager's our boss. No, it's not really like a lead singer even, because, I mean, there's so many personalities in the band. People usually say, is the one of you who talks more than the others? Well, I said, no, everybody's got equal amount to say, you know. So there's not really any leader in the band, you know.
And what about your songs? Do you write your own material?
Yeah, I write the songs.
Everything comes from within. Everything comes within.
Yeah, I think that's important, actually, because, I mean, you know, right from the beginning when the song's written, I'm thinking about what the lads can, you know, how they can make the routine up. And it's dead important, I think. It gives it its own style when everything's coming from within the band.
Gives a bit more cred as well.
I don't know who that third voice was. It was Gary at the end there. Gary and Robbie, rather, at the very end there. That's an interview from 1991 featuring Gary and Robbie, Gary Barlow, Robbie Williams from Take That. We're looking at the cultural impact of Take That this evening with Louise Bruton. So I maintain I could hear a little bit of tension, but just something the way it was said around, you know, when he said, yeah, that's a funny one, all right. That he didn't think that was funny at all.
Or just, I'd write those songs and then the boys will come up with the dance routines, which was obviously, because a big thing when Robbie was in the band and then leaving the band was he was known as the fat dancer from Take That. So there was obviously a lot of tension between them and what their roles were. And even the idea of lead singer, which is something that we saw again in Boyzone, where the lead singing came down to Ronan and Stephen in Boyzone, and the other three boys were there to kind of fill the stage, which is probably, it would kind of put down a lot of people if they realised that they were just filling a stage. And that's probably what Robbie felt.
Yeah, he felt a little bit of that. But then we have the phrase, doing a Robbie.
Doing a Robbie, yeah. He went out and he outshone them all. And for a while, Take That, I feel we're a bit of a laughing stock, because Gary Barlow tried to have a similar solo career, and everybody believed that he would be the one to go out there and have the biggest success because he had the voice and he had the talent. But the thing that he doesn't really have, which Robbie has in droves, is charisma. And Robbie Williams became the biggest solo male act for probably about 5-6 years without fail.
And you talked about the moment of the split. It really was. I mean, it was a huge event. I remember the newsreels, the news bulletins at the time, full of people crying about the demise of Take That.
Yeah, and it was the type of thing that if we had as much kind of television coverage when the Beatles split, it would have been the same thing. But it was just every news bulletin.
When was it actually? It was 1990.
It was February 1996, which...
February the 13th.
I know, terrible day. But
it
was
before
also
Valentine's Day. Hearts broken beforehand.
But their breakup probably also paved the space in everybody's hearts for the Spice Girls who arrived then that summer. So it's almost like you can't have a boy band and a girl band So for Hearts to Break, they had to mend with The Power of Wannabe then.
Oh, that's very nicely put. So would you see then the Spice Girls, maybe a mirror image or some kind of, you know, accompaniment to take that, or, you know, running alongside them? Because if you look at what came subsequently, was there anybody really who matched the boy bandishness of Take That?
The way the pop world works is everything is a reaction of something else. So because a boy band was so successful, the marketing heads had to be like, a girl band now has to be successful to take over. And then the pure pop-ness of the female girls, Spice Girls, meant that something a bit cooler, like All Saints, had to come along. And when you look at the timeline of boy bands, Take That were dancing shirtless under waterfalls. And when you come to 2013, when One Direction launched, they refused to dance. They refused to be just cute boys, which age 16 they were.
Well, let's have a listen to Robbie on the split with the band. Here he is talking to Chris Evans. And if anybody was going to cause trouble with him, it was going to be Chris Evans. So Robbie Williams talking about the band split.
I mean, how do you feel about Gary and Jason and Mark and Howard now?
Well, it's obvious that if you're dictated and conditioned for so long into a certain regime, that you're going to carry on with the same thing. And the boys, bless them, don't know anything different to what they're in.
Do you still think they've been told what to say?
I don't believe for one instance that they're being told what to say. There's nobody going, you say this, you say that. But there's somebody guiding them around it. Now, there's somebody guiding them to tell what they've got to say.
Bearing in mind all that's happened, right, and do you regret... I just want a yes or no from you now, Bob. Do you regret leaving Take That when you did?
Yes. No. No, I didn't leave, it was sacked.
Yeah, I know, no. It doesn't matter how you left. But would you have preferred to have been there and done a farewell tour without leaving? Because it was only six months after
I would have loved. I would have loved to have done the tour. Right. I was going to leave Christmas, I would have loved to have done the tour.
So you're still happy that you left?
I couldn't be more happy than I am now. I'm doing my own thing. Right. I'm writing my own stuff.
Robbie Williams there talking about the demise of Take That. The temporary demise of Take That, it has to be said, because everybody thought, well, that's it. How can they ever get back together again? There must have been an incredible row. And I think everybody knew it was Robbie and Gary, really, didn't they?
It was Robbie and Gary. But then in 2005, they did the unexpected and came back as a four piece, almost bigger than ever. And it was kind
without
Robbie. Mm-hmm. Robbie was still quite successful in his solo career, but he was on the downturn. And their reunion probably shaped the rest of pop reunions from that point on. So there wouldn't have been a Spice Girls reunion in 2007. It wasn't for Take That, because Take That came back with music that was almost better than what they initially released, with songs like Patience and Smile, which Lily Allen said was such a good song that she stole the melody from one of her own albums and just gave some credits on the album. It was just one of those things.
Let's have a listen to a clip from The Late Late Show 2010, because this is they're back together now at this stage. And again, they were so clever at how they could handle media when the awkward questions were asked.
It was difficult for me and Rob, definitely. But I think outside of me and Rob, there weren't any other real problems within the band.
Yeah.
So once that was done, and that was done pretty quick, wasn't it, Rob?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Instantly.
Yeah. Once that was done, it was absolute plain sailing.
Instantly?
Yeah, well, he apologised for nicking my tatoes back in the day. Salt and vinegar tatoes, that's where it started.
So it was a crisp issue, was it?
Yeah.
OK, so you guys got over that then and felt if that was the immovable object that changed everything when you got it together. And did you miss then, since you've been back with Take That, have you missed the freedom that you indulged yourself in by being a solo artist? Was it...
No, you know, I suppose I'm a bit like a child that just needs to be guided in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I've been missing somebody to go, no, actually, I disagree, it should be this way and we should do it that way. I'm loving being part of a team. Everywhere we go, it's like doing a lap of honour and people are smiling and happy to see us. Right now, it's very, very special to be Take That and to be in Take That and to be part of this.
And, you know, you kind of believe him when he says that. I don't know whether it is all schmaltz. What do you think?
I was just speculating, like, you don't believe a word he's
saying.
Because he only stayed with them for one album.
All right.
And then he didn't come back and he didn't perform with them at the Olympics in 2012. His wife was giving birth now, in fairness. But there was a thing where he kind of wanted to see if he could almost wield the power to come back in. and have big success because they had, I think, a number one single with The Flood, but then he left again.
Okay, we have spoken a lot about, the split and all of the that side of things and the dynamic in the band, but the songwriting, we shouldn't forget. You, I gave you the choice. I was kind of thinking about Back for Good, but I suppose Patience is probably a better song, is it?
Well, they all have their place in the canon of great music. Back for Good, I think, is just a perfect pop song. And I think anybody in any generation would probably know all of the ad-libs, all of the key changes off by heart. But Patience was just remarkable in that they just came back with a new wave of magic. And it's a universal pop song in that sense where everybody can enjoy it.
All right. Well, let us finish up with Patience then from Take That. Louise Bruton looking at the story of the boy band that was Take That, that is Take That.
Have a little patience. Still hurting from a love I lost. I'm feeling your frustration. A little patience.
Patience, the title of the song there from Take That, and it was Louise Bruton who was bringing us through the history of the band to start out tonight's programme.